Hello and welcome to Volume 45, Number 22 of Grapevine, your weekly local news magazine. Brought to you by the Great Yarmouth and District Talking Newspaper Association, this edition is published on Friday, the 30th of May, 2025. I'm Andrew, your presenter, and joined in the studio this week by Desney and Navia, your newsreaders. And in the news this week, Galston smuggler caught at Heathrow. Another care contract cancelled by the council. By George, the councillors bid for an extra bank holiday. And the farmers may soon be jolly again. All this coming your way during the next hour or so, plus Desney's TV outlook for the week ahead. So with no birthdays this week, it's straight on with the first part of the news. And Desney, what do you have to start us off with, please?
Smuggler flying from Thailand caught with suitcase of drugs. A smuggler from Norfolk has been remanded in prison after being caught trying to bring 26 kilos of cannabis through Heathrow. Kara Borrett, Inset, was stopped with cases full of herbal cannabis after attempting to pass through customs at Terminal 4. The 46-year-old was arrested on May the 23rd after arriving back in the UK from Thailand. It was the latest in a string of arrests in recent weeks of people caught trying to smuggle the drug into the UK from Thailand, where cannabis is legal. The National Crime Agency confirmed Borrett had been arrested on her arrival at Heathrow from Bangkok after travelling via the United Arab Emirates. A luggage check saw officers find 26 kilograms of cannabis, estimated to be worth £800,000, more than can fit into a single suitcase. Borrett of Lowestoft Road in Galston appeared at Willesden Magistrates Court on May the 26th and indicated a guilty plea to being concerned in the fraudulent evasion of a prohibition on the importation of a Class B drug. The smuggler was remanded to remain in custody due to the nature and seriousness of the offence and because of the possibility of absconding. Magistrates ordered a pre-sentence report to examine all options, including immediate jail term, when sentencing takes place on June the 16th. Neighbours say that Borrett, who has previously worked at Great Yarmouth's Pleasure Beach, had recently launched a nail parlour business. Another sideline appears to be offering paid-for video messages on the website Cameo, charging £6 a time. Borrett was born male, but now identifies and lives as a woman. Thailand is a hotspot for cannabis smuggling. Since Thailand decriminalised cannabis in 2022, there's been a dramatic increase in the amount being sent to the UK by post and smuggled by air passengers. In February, Border Force and the National Crime Agency took part in Operation Chaparral at Bangkok Airport that saw over 2 tonnes of cannabis with an estimated value of £6 million being seized. Since the operation began in July 2024, over 50 British nationals have been arrested in Thailand for attempted cannabis smuggling. Alex Murray, National Crime Agency Director of Threat Leadership, said, "We have been working well with the Thai authorities who are keen to intervene. Couriers should think very carefully about agreeing to smuggle cannabis. There are life-changing consequences. Crime groups can be very persuasive, but the risk of getting caught is very high and simply not worth it."
Council officials have terminated another care contract with the company it was paying to look after some of Norfolk's most vulnerable people. Norfolk County Council has cancelled its arrangement with Norwich-based CompKey to provide care to people in their own homes because of concerns over quality and recruitment problems. County Hall had to deal with the company, based in Stevenson Road in North Earlham, to provide adult social care to 26 people across the county. The cancellation of the contract means the council must transfer their care to another provider. Tim Weller, head of the council's Integrated Quality Service, said, "Officers have worked hard over many years to support improvement in quality and CompKey, but the company has struggled to achieve the high standards the council seeks for people who care its funds. Our priority now is to ensure a seamless transfer of packages of care to appropriate alternative care providers, and our operational social work teams have made contact with all clients who care is impacted. We also recognise that staff would require additional help to themselves in these situations, and dedicated officers are available to support. The most recent inspection report of CompQ by the Care Quality Commission in 2020 stated that the service required improvement. CompQ was contracted for comment but did not respond. The cancellation of the contract with CompQ comes just after County Hall decided to rip up £2 million worth of contracts with another care provider. The council served notice on charity ambient support, which was provided care and support for 35 adults with learning disabilities across 9 Norfolk states. A spokesman for the Norwich-based charity said it was saddened that, having delivered care to vulnerable people in Norfolk for more than 20 years, its partnership with the council was ending.
New lower speed limit for dangerous road. A speed limit on a dangerous stretch of a major Norfolk road has been reduced to improve safety. The section of the A143 between Fritton and Belton no longer has the national speed limit and is instead a 50-mile-per-hour stretch of road. Norfolk County Council says it has made the traffic regulation order to improve safety and for preventing the likelihood of any such danger arising and for preventing damage to the road or to any building on or near the road. Great Yarmouth's new mayor and local councillor, Carl Annison, welcomed the changes to the speed limit. He had been campaigning for the reduction in the speed limit since early 2024, when he carried out speed limit surveys on the road. Before the new arrangement came into being, he said, "After so many residents' concerns and many accidents, I can confirm the new traffic regulation order to reduce the speed limit to 50 miles an hour on the A143 Beccles Road from Bradwell to Fritton takes effect on Monday. This is yet another piece of the work I've been working on as the county councillor for Lothingland. At last, all the hard work has paid off. The section of the road that changed is from the 30-mile-per-hour stretch in Fritton Village Centre, past the turn into Fritton Lake and the Caldecott Hall Golf Club, past the Cherry Lane Garden Centre and the Belton Turnings, and to the roundabout in Bradwell. In May 2023, there was a fatal accident on the section of road after a multiple vehicle collision saw a woman in her 70s, who was a passenger in a Vauxhall Mokka, killed."
Lifeguards will return to Norfolk and Suffolk beaches this weekend. The Royal National Lifeboat Institution lifeguards will be back at their posts from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. each day over the spring bank holiday weekend, starting on Saturday. They will be in duty at Sheringham West, Cromer East, Munsley, Sea Pooling, Goulston, Southwold North and Lowestoft South beaches. The RNLI said 95% of the lifeguards' role is preventative, and they have completed extensive training to ensure that they are ready to deal with everything from finding missing children to performing major first aid and life-saving rescues. Ted Morgan, RNLI lifeguard supervisor, said, "Following a stringent training programme, our charity's lifeguards are in peak condition and they're really looking forward to returning to their posts. Come rain or shine, we'll be there to offer friendly safety advice, such as always to swim between the red and yellow flags and information on tide times. We always advise people to visit a lifeguard beach. It's great to see visitors enjoying the coast with the extra peace of mind of knowing that we are there should they need us." Councillor Sarah Whitelock, East Suffolk Cabinet Member for Communities, Culture, Leisure and Tourism, said East Suffolk has some of the most beautiful beaches in the country, which are hugely popular with residents and visitors during the summer months. "We want people to be able to enjoy the beach safely and grateful to the RNLI, who will be present at Southwold and Lowestoft to keep people safe." Colin Brown, Leisure and Locality Service Manager at North Norfolk District County Council, said, "It's great to have the RNLI lifeguards across our blue flag beaches again this summer. They play such an important role in keeping residents and visitors safe, educated and able to enjoy their time in our resorts." Staying on the beach, a prominent hotel looking over one of the best beaches in Europe is hoping to introduce a mobile food unit outside its premises. The Pier Hotel on the Goulston seafront has applied to the Great Yarmouth Borough Council to amend its licence boundaries. Its application is for a variation to extend the licensable area to include an additional outdoor space to enable a mobile catering unit to be positioned. The hotel is situated at Goulston's harbour mouth and looks over the vast sandy beaches, which was included in TripAdvisor's Traveller's Choice Best of the Best Beaches list for 2025. Goulston was named the 23rd best beach in Europe, with traveller experts calling it the perfect spot for families and dogs. This is not the first time Goulston has earned a claim. It came 12th in 2023 and won a different TripAdvisor title in 2024. The pink-sanded Elephonisi Beach in Crete came in first, and Weymouth in the UK placed slightly above Goulston in 20th. If you have any representations to the hotel's new licence application, then you can email the Borough Council by June 3rd on licensing@greatyarmouth-yarmouth.gov.uk.
A father of two who died at his home will be remembered for his love of laughter and dancing, his family has said. David Polly was found unresponsive at his home in Bradwell by his partner, having taken amphetamines together the evening before and waking in the night complaining of heart palpitations. An inquest held on Friday concluded that he had died in a drug-related death with an underlying heart condition considered to have been a contributing factor. But his family, including his sister and his two grown-up children, say they will not remember him for the tragic way he died. Instead, they will remember his smile, his love of music, and for always being the first person on the dance floor at any family gathering. In an emotional statement read to the court, his sister said, "Dave was a brother and a father. While today brings us closure, it cannot completely tell the full story of who Dave was. He is not defined by the way he died, but the way he lived and the love he gave to those around him. He had a big heart and a great sense of humour. He was deeply loved by his family." The court heard Mr. Polly died on the morning of October the 20th last year, having been found unresponsive on the sofa of his home. CPR was performed, but he died at the scene. The medical cause of death was given as amphetamine toxicity with right coronary artery stenosis, a secondary factor. His sister added, "He was always laughing and having a good time. His love of dancing and music will be one of the main things we will remember him for."
The Norfolk Secondary School, which has topped the list for the most oversubscribed in the county, was forced to turn away 4 out of 10 families who listed it as their first choice. Ormiston Venture Academy in Goulston was statistically the toughest high school in Norfolk to secure places at for the first current academic year. The school offered 167 spots for its 2024 to 2025 new intake, but was listed as the top choice of 276 prospective pupils. It meant 109 families were left disappointed, almost 40% of applicants. Ormiston Venture emerged as the toughest to get into, ahead of traditionally more sought-after schools, such as at Wyndham College and Notre Dame High School in Norwich. Simon Gilbert Barnum, principal at Ormiston Venture Academy, said, "We're very proud to be the school of choice for so many families in our Goulston community. We are committed to continuing to build on this success, working alongside our wider community and schools across the area to ensure every young person in Great Yarmouth has access to the best education and learning opportunities." Notre Dame High School in Norwich topped the list for toughest school to get into for the previous academic year, 2023 to 2024. The Catholic school again proved in demand, having to turn down almost a quarter of families who listed it as top choice. It was fifth on the list behind Ormiston Venture, 39%, Wyndham College, 23%, Marshland High in West Walton, 23%, and Acle Academy, 22%. Meanwhile, Hillside Primary School in Bradwell received more than twice as many applications as places it offered, making it Norfolk's most oversubscribed primary. The school was listed as a choice 59 times, with just 27 places to offer, meaning 55% of applications were unsuccessful. Wyndham College Prep School was second on the list, turning away 44% of applicants, followed by Walpole Cross Keys Primary, 33%, Pulham Church of England and Renningham Primary School, both 32%. Meanwhile, Moorlands Church of England Primary Academy in Belton was the only school in the entire county listed as any preference fewer times than the number of places on offer. The school had 40 reception places available, but only 33 families listed it as first, second or third choice on their applications.
An award-winning circus is returning to a seaside town. Russell's International Circus will be at Great Yarmouth Racecourse from May the 28th to June the 1st. The circus, which is celebrating its 20th anniversary, will feature a new show with roller skaters from Mexico, clowns and a jaw-dropping hair-hanging performance. The popular Wheel of Death will also be returning. Circus director Rusty Russell said, "We love coming back to Great Yarmouth every year. It's become something of a tradition. We know that families wait for us to return during the half-term holidays, and it's always wonderful to see familiar faces alongside new ones. This year we've pulled out all the stops to impress our audience as we celebrate our 20th anniversary. We truly believe this will be our strongest show to date. Performances will take place daily at 3 p.m. and 6 p.m, except on Sunday, June the 1st, when there is only one show at 12 p.m. Tickets are available for purchase at the on-site box office located at the racecourse, which will open on Monday. They can also be purchased online at russellscircus.co.uk.
Two Albanian men found hiding under compost bags in a former bank they had turned into a large-scale cannabis factory have been jailed for a total of almost 10 years. Mark Kohler, 35, and Fajon Halachi, 33, were discovered hiding in the roof of the former NatWest branch in Hawkey, Great Yarmouth. Norwich Crown Court heard the pair were uncovered by police after members of the public alerted officers to a strong smell of cannabis in the surrounding areas. John Morgans, prosecuting, said officers also noticed the smell when they went to the scene on the evening of May 31st. They used a drone to detect a significant heat source emanating from the building, which is next to the former Star Hotel. Police forged their way into the property and found the large-scale cannabis factory inside, with drugs growing in 10 rooms. Inside were a total of 888 cannabis plants. Mr. Morgan said it was very clearly industrial quantities of cannabis. Halachi, of no fixed abode, appeared in court on Thursday, having admitted producing Class B cannabis in the former bank. He also admitted being concerned in the supply of Class B drugs, acquiring criminal property and cultivating cannabis in connection with offences in Kent in 2023. Kohler of Hawkey, Yarmouth, also appeared in court on Wednesday after admitting producing a drug of Class B at the Yarmouth Bank. Recorder Nicola Fitches said the 888 plants found had a potential value of between £93,100 and £179,220. Jailing Halachi for a total of 5 years and 7 months, Recorder Fitches said illegal drugs have a destructive impact on wider society. Kohler is minded as the devastation illegal drugs cause to society and was told the least sentence Recorder Fitches could impose was 3 years. Atlanta Saunders appeared for Halachi and said he was under no illusions. Anything other than an immediate prison sentence would be passed. She said he had come to the UK looking for a better life but fell into gambling. Christopher Johnston appeared on behalf of Kohler, who he said had come to the country expecting to do construction work, put in this cannabis installation and was not seen to the light of day until police arrived.
Investigation into fatal crash continues. An investigation is continuing after a man was killed in a crash on the A47 in Norfolk. A police probe was launched after the death of Thomas Hurran, 36, following a collision which took place between Galston and Hopton on December the 11th last year. Mr. Hurran was driving a white Range Rover Evoque, while the other vehicle involved was a blue Vauxhall Astra. The driver of the Vauxhall, a man in his 20s, was arrested on suspicion of causing death by dangerous driving and drug driving. The man had been bailed until March, although that has since been extended until June the 11th. Police have said he now faces no action over the drug driving allegations, although other investigations are ongoing. A spokesman for Norfolk Constabulary said inquiries are continuing. The fatal crash was the second time tragedy had struck the Hurran family. In 2004, Thomas's brother James, who was 22 at the time, died in the Boxing Day tsunami while on holiday in Thailand. In a statement released previously following Mr. Hurran's death, his parents Dale and Debbie said, "At just 36 years old, Thomas was a much-loved son, brother and friend, remembered for his zest for life, his passion for boxing, running and the gym." Thomas has now been reunited in heaven with his beloved brother James, and together they will forever watch over their family and friends with love.
A major shake-up of how NHS services are led could see a merger between Norfolk, Suffolk and now Cambridgeshire. Following the government's announcement that it plans to abolish NHS England, health bosses across the country have been ordered to drastically reduce management costs. This has seen all integrated care boards, ICBs, the bodies responsible for commissioning and organising local NHS services, told to cut their running costs in half. It had widely been expected that Norfolk and Waveney's ICB would merge with the neighbouring boards in Suffolk and North Essex. With Ed Garrett already appointed as chief executive of both organisations, but it is now merged that the Cambridgeshire and Peterborough ICB could be included in a three-way merger. This would create a single organisation serving Norfolk, Suffolk, Cambridgeshire and Peterborough. Discussions continue over how the region will respond to the cuts, with three options currently on the table. All three options could see Norfolk and Suffolk form a single organisation, with North Essex breaking off from Suffolk to form Greater Essex. One of these options could lump Cambridgeshire and Peterborough in with Norfolk. These arrangements could be made in one of two ways, either clustering or merging. Clustering would see the organisations making joint appointments to senior roles by continuing to operate as separate legal entities. Conversely, merging would see the organisations cease to be and a new single entity created in its place. This is understood to be the preferable option. A spokesman for NHS Norfolk and Waveney ICB said, "As part of the national requirements for ICBs to reduce their running costs by 50%, all ICBs have been asked to reconsider their future delivery models, working with regional NHS England teams to agree a future model that meets the challenges we face today. We have been engaging our colleagues and our key stakeholders on future ICB options. We will be submitting plans that meet our affordability challenge for agreement by NHS England at the end of May."
Police increase number of rural officers. Police have increased the number of personnel fighting rural crime after figures showed only two officers were dedicated to tackling the issue. Norfolk Constabulary has upped its resources to combat criminals targeting the county's rural areas and now has a dozen officers on the case. Despite Norfolk being the fifth biggest county by area in England, with some 1,200 of its 2,074 square miles in rural areas, a Freedom of Information Act request by the Liberal Democrats revealed only there were just two officers in the rural crime team. Norfolk Constabulary said it had recently invested in the team to strengthen it, but Stefan Aquarone, the Lib Dem MP for North Norfolk, said more needs to be done to prevent crimes which can be devastating for victims. Mr. Aquarone called for the government to give the police force more money to tackle problems such as theft of farming equipment, hair coursing and illegal metal detecting. Mr. Aquarone said, "Rural crime is devastating. I've heard shocking stories and the appalling impact it has from residents in every corner of North Norfolk. The cost of rural crime now stands at almost £53 million a year countrywide, and we must fight back." Mr. Aquarone said, "I am asking the government to take urgent steps to support our officers, including better sharing of crime intelligence, a rural crime fund to support our officers to purchase technology like drones, and to support control room operators to better understand rural crime so they can respond to incidents more effectively." A Norfolk Constabulary spokeswoman said, "We would always welcome additional funding for rural crime, as there is always more that can be done. We have four officers who hold the rural crime portfolio within the Community Safety Operational Unit, which consists of 12 officers who have other responsibilities such as heritage crime and licensing, as well as operational drone deployment. We have recently invested in the team to bring them up to the 12 officers, showing our commitment to investing in tackling rural crime. A large majority of our best officers are rural, covering rural patches, and as such are more than capable of dealing with rural crime matters."
I drove my tractor through your haystack last night. Ooh, ah, ah. I threw me pitchfork at your dog to keep quiet. Ooh, ah, now something's telling me that you move right in me. It's a proper disgrace. Now if I cleaned it up, would you change your mind? I'll give up drinking Strumpy and that larder alive. Cause I got a brand new combine harvester and I'll give you the key. Come on now, let's get together in perfect harmony. Grand couple at that last Wurzel dance. I wore brand new gaiters and me corduroy pants. In your new Sunday dress with your perfume smelling grand, we had our photos taken us out in hand. Now I got a brand new combine harvester and I'll give you the key. Now that we both passed our 50s, I think that you and me should stop this.
That was the Wurzels there with a very apt little piece of music for you. Now, our resident TV expert, Desney, has news of the programmes for the week ahead. Desney, what have you got to tell us?
Hello, everybody. Well, let's start with the weekend. On Saturday, ITV and BBC go up against with two of their best-known programmes. At 7pm on ITV, it's the grand final of Britain's Got Talent. And at 6:50pm, that's just getting in before them, the BBC have got the action-packed finale of Doctor Who, with the Rani threatening the destruction of Earth. That's the Rani is now two people, Archie Panjabi and Anita Dobson. And the Doctor has his two assistants, Belinda and Ruby. I wonder who'll win that one. Who do you think? On Sunday, ITV have got another strong programme, which is Code of Silence, which comes to an end on Monday because they're doing two episodes a week, a Sunday and a Monday one. So episodes 5 and 6 are on Sunday and Monday. And this is the drama called Code of Silence that stars the now very well-known actress from Strictly, our Rose. There's some sport at the weekend, as you would expect. This weekend, it's the Spanish Grand Prix, which is on Sky Sports' main event at 1 o'clock on Sunday, and the race starts at 2. The French Open goes on over the weekend and up until next weekend, and that I think, is on TNT Sports. But if you're really interested and you want to follow it, you'll be just as well off listening to it on BBC Radio 5 Live. If you're a cricket fan, England are playing the West Indies. The men and the women are playing this week, so there are matches, one-day internationals on Sunday, Tuesday and Friday for the men, with the women creeping in on Wednesday with their one-day match that starts at 12:30. And I think these ones are on Sky Sports, either main event or cricket. There's also on Tuesday a women's football match, which is the Nations League, Spain versus England. And that's on ITV at 5:30 on Tuesday afternoon. Now, for the rest of the week, we have on, well, Monday I've told you Code of Silence, so that's the only Monday programme I've put down. On Tuesday, the BBC have another in the series, Who Do You Think You Are, with Will Young. And on Channel 4, there is Bake Off The Professionals, for those who think they're smarter at cooking. On Thursday, it's the British Soap Awards, and this is hosted by Jane McDonald. And on Friday, our Andrew goes here a lot, it's Cruising with Susan Kalman in the first of a two-part visit to New Zealand, where the comedian explores treasures of the South Island before she sets sail for North Island and a trip to Wellington, where she visits locations that were used in the Lord of the Rings films.
That's very true. Yeah, Lord of the Rings has played a huge part in New Zealand's economy over the years.
Yeah, I bet it has, yeah. Well,
my daughter lives over there, has been there for 10 years, so we know a fair bit about it. But the cruising, that will be very interesting to see.
Yes, I thought you might like that one.
Thank you very much.
And that's followed by anyone else who's interested in any sport by some live boxing. I'm afraid that's not a sport of mine, but, you know, some people might like it.
That looks like a nice week ahead for us anyway. So either
it's a bit of everything, isn't it?
Watch or listen and enjoy your week.
future of cadets hangs in the balance as new leader sought. They are cadets who proudly epitomise the spirit and ethos of the Royal Marines. But now the future of a group of East Coast cadets is hanging in the balance as they issue an urgent appeal for volunteers. The 901 Troop Marine Cadets have served the Great Yarmouth area for more than 20 years, appearing at remembrance and civic events. But as the TS Fearless unit looks to continue to support its mission of transforming young lives, it is seeking a dedicated and passionate new commanding officer and team of staff to guide the next generation. The local independent cadet organisation was founded in 2001 in Winterton by former Royal Marine David Holman, and in 2012 the troop was honoured with the Freedom of Great Yarmouth Borough. The troop has long been a cornerstone of youth development in the area, offering young people from Great Yarmouth and surrounding villages the opportunity to learn vital life skills, develop confidence, and instil discipline through the traditions of the Royal Marines. TS Fearless has been a beacon of excellence for many years, providing structured activities such as adventure training, waterborne skills, teamwork exercises, and ceremonial drills. But now the unit is calling upon the community for backing. A spokesman said, "A new commanding officer and support staff are urgently needed to ensure that this invaluable resource for young people continues to thrive. With volunteers playing a pivotal role in providing guidance, support and mentorship to young people aged 10 to 18, they help them develop skills that will serve them for a lifetime." While prior knowledge of the armed forces or cadet organisations is welcome, full training and support are provided. The spokesman added, "Without a strong leadership team, however, the future of TS Fearless is uncertain. The cadets need you to help them continue their journey. If you are interested in becoming the commanding officer, an instructor or an administrator, email tsfearless via 901tsf@gmail.com or call 07717 629182.
Here's two traffic stories. Cul-de-sac chaos. Lost holidaymakers looking for the caravan park they have booked at place at are causing confusion in a cul-de-sac in a Norfolk village. Castle Mews off Butt Lane in Borough Castle is said to be seeing up to 50 vehicles a week mistakenly turn into the private road. It has seen cars, some towing caravans, resorting to performing tricky manoeuvres and going on people's driveways to try and get out. The problem emerged in the village near Great Yarmouth at a parish council meeting. The meeting heard a person complained of a great amount of vehicles, up to 50 a week, using the private road to turn around. The minutes say that lost drivers entering the cul-de-sac are often even towing a caravan as they perform a tricky manoeuvre in it and on occupants. Driveways, as they seek to find the park they are staying at. The complainant requested that additional signage could be installed on Butt Lane showing directions to the various holiday parks in the village. Councillors say they will write to all of the holiday parks in the village to request that they improve their signs to direct holidaymakers to their relevant sites. Wrong way, officer. A police officer was captured on camera driving the wrong way down a bus lane in the direction where buses turn into a town's new look interchange. The video shows a police car arrive on the pedestrian crossover on Regent Road by Great Yarmouth Market. Gates stop and then drive up where buses turn in from King Street. It was taken on Monday, May 19, the day on which the new format for the direction of traffic was introduced and which say many drivers going the wrong way around town. The car then turns left at the top of Regent Road, parallel to Theatre Plain, and turns right onto Denneside, which motorists for the first time in more than 30 years can now drive in that direction. Police vehicles are generally permitted to use bus lanes in Norfolk and across the country, especially when responding to emergency calls or other official duties. This is a standard exception for emergency service vehicles, regardless of whether they are displaying blue lights. Though in the vehicle, the car did not appear to be responding to an emergency, as the siren was not sounding and the lights were not on.
Free Wi-Fi plans. Free Wi-Fi is set to be installed across a large area of Great Yarmouth and Galston. The project, funded by £190,000 of government money, will see free Wi-Fi available along Great Yarmouth seafront and town centre, as well as along Regent Road to Marine Parade. It will also be accessible in the Boating Lake area of Galston seafront and will then be installed in King Street in Great Yarmouth. The town already has free Wi-Fi in the marketplace, which was funded by Go Trade. The new service will complement the existing network. Councillor Daniel Candon, Great Yarmouth Borough Council's portfolio holder for economic development and growth, said, "Expanding the footprint for free Wi-Fi in Great Yarmouth will be transformational for residents, visitors, businesses and those who work or study there. We're grateful for the government's town deal funding, which paid for the entire project. The technology will also offer the council and businesses the opportunity to track visitor footfall and dwell times. People will also be able to use a free public internet access centre based in the town's new library and university hub, the place in the marketplace."
A man who had his murder conviction quashed and then restored has failed in an appeal to reduce his sentence. Stuart Layden was convicted in 2013 of murdering Ian Church in Set outside of Great Yarmouth pub in May 2012 and was handed a mandatory life sentence with a minimum jail term of 13 years. The Court of Appeal overturned the conviction in 2015 and ordered a retrial, after which Layden was jailed again until Court of Appeal judges quashed his conviction a second time in 2023. He then spent 18 months on bail before Supreme Court judges restored his conviction last month. Lawyers representing Layden argued that his time spent on bail should be deducted from the overall sentence. They said that if this time is taken into account, he would have served almost the whole of his minimum term and should be eligible for parole. But Lord Justice Jeremy Baker, sitting with Lord Justice Holgate, refused the appeal, saying that Layden's time spent outside prison is likely to be of considerable value in persuading the parole board that he is no longer a danger to the public. In a judgment, Lord Justice Jeremy Baker said that the fact of the matter is that following his conviction for murder, the applicant has been at liberty for a period about 18 months, albeit subject to an electronic curfew, when he would otherwise have remained in custody. Although we recognise that since the restoration of his conviction for murder, this has put back the date of his eligibility for parole, giving the effect of a sentence of imprisonment for life. There could be no assumption the applicant would have been released on the earlier date or at all. Layden was originally convicted of Mr. Church's murder alongside four others, following an incident at the Bricklayers Arms in the early hours of May 5th, 2012. Witnesses described seeing the shop worker being kicked and punched to the back of the head during a prolonged attack. He suffered a cardiac arrest and died 2 days later.
Here's further news on a story we covered a few weeks ago. Village pub to reopen after muddy boots row and shotgun rumours. A village pub is to reopen after a row involving muddy footwear saw its last pair of publicans given the boot within 2 weeks. The Jolly Farmers in Ormsby St Margaret closed on April the 10th after reopening for a short fortnight-long stint on March the 27th. Now an anonymous new landlord has announced the pub will soon reopen. A revamped logo for the drinking spot has been revealed on Facebook, but the new publican has declined to comment on the reopening. A spokesman for the Stonegate Group, which manages the watering hole, confirmed that new publicans are completing a change of tenancy on Friday. He added that the pub itself won't be reopening for a few weeks and that no exact opening date is currently set. The most recent closure of the pub came after an explosive row between village locals and landlords Colin Swindlehurst and partner Tracy Jones. A foul-mouthed dispute about muddy boots being worn inside the pub by gamekeeper Tom Bain first started the Barney. This quickly spiralled into an incendiary claim, strongly denied by the couple, that a shotgun was brandished behind the bar. A manager from the Stonegate was sent to investigate, and after an argument with Mr. Swindlehurst, his contract was terminated, with the firm citing unacceptable behaviour towards the pub's guests. Despite the messy end to the last tenancy, Mr. Bain feels optimistic about the reopening of the pub. I think I can speak for many when I say we are all looking forward to it opening and meeting the new landlord, he said. I think I can safely say for myself and many locals that we wish them all the best. We've had no rain in months, so the return of the muddy boots won't be till later in the year.
Two crime incidents. Doorman stabbed. A doorman required hospital treatment after he was stabbed outside a Norfolk pub over the bank holiday weekend. Police were called to the Trollcart Wetherspoon in Great Yarmouth in the early hours of Saturday after the attack occurred. Norfolk Constabulary said they were called to the pub in Regent Road at 12:32 a.m. on Saturday, following an altercation in which a man suffered a stab injury. The victim, a man in his 20s, and who was a member of the door staff team, was taken to the James Paget University Hospital for treatment and was discharged later that day. Officers arrested a man in his 30s and he was taken to the Great Yarmouth Police Investigation Centre for questioning. Joshua Rose, 34, of Pinelands Road, Horsford, was subsequently charged with possession of a knife and wounding with intent. He appeared at Norwich Magistrates Court on Monday, May 26, and was remanded in custody to appear at Norwich Crown Court on June 23rd. A spokesman for Wetherspoon said an incident occurred outside the pub on 24th of May, which resulted in a minor injury to a member of our door team. The police were called, but the individual had already left the area by the time they attended. We are helping the police with their investigation. A teenager had admitted a fray after another person was threatened with a zombie knife in Norfolk. Zach Pyre was one of three people seen chasing individuals through Broad Row in Great Yarmouth. A zombie-style knife was seen in the chase, which happened at about 12:40 p.m. on Monday, April 14th. Pyre, 19, and a man in his 20s were both arrested on suspicion of a fray and taken to Great Yarmouth Police Investigation Centre for questioning. Pyre, of Marketplace, Dereham, was subsequently charged with a fray and threatening a person with a knife. The teenager appeared at Norwich Crown Court on Tuesday, May 27th, for a plea and trial preparation hearing. Pyre, who appeared via video link from custody, admitted a fray but denied threatening another person with a knife. Timothy Fulford, prosecuting, said the pleas were acceptable but asked the knife offence be allowed to lie on file. Judge Andrew Shaw adjourned sentence until July 7th and Pyre was remanded in custody.
More crime news. Luxury yacht maker employee accused of stealing 10K of equipment. A former employee at one of the region's biggest boat builders is set to stand trial accused of the theft of almost £10,000 worth of equipment. Stuart Elgi, 56, is alleged to have stolen marine equipment between January 2018 and March 2023 while working at Oyster Yachts in Hoveton. The 56-year-old of Windsor Park Gardens, Norwich, denies theft by employee. His LinkedIn page states that he worked as a laminator at the luxury yacht maker during the period when the thefts, totalling £9,800, are said to have occurred. He is set to stand trial at Norwich Magistrates Court on June the 8th. At a hearing, prosecutors had sought to have the trial delayed because a key witness who works as an auditor at the company and is set to give evidence will be on holiday. Deputy District Judge Jackie Appleton refused an application to vacate the trial date because the alleged offences already dated back more than 2 years and further delays into 2026 could not be justified. The items said to have been stolen were subsequently recovered, the court was told. Multiple businesses in Great Yarmouth have had illicit items seized. Four firms were visited by Norfolk Constabulary, Norfolk County Council Trading Standards and Great Yarmouth Borough Council on Wednesday. during the inspection approximately 49,000 illegal cigarettes, 200 illegal vapes, and 6 kilograms of rolling tobacco were seized. Search dogs Jack and Frankie assisted in locating the illegally hidden items. Anyone wanting to report illegal sale of vapes, cigarettes or tobacco can do so by contacting Citizens Advice on 0808 223 1133.
Rail passengers in Norwich can get to London for £11 with the launch of cheaper train tickets. Greater Anglia has introduced Seatfrog Secret Fare for selected journeys on services running between Norwich and London. The tickets can be purchased for journeys from Norwich or Diss to London Liverpool Street or Stratford. Cheaper tickets are also available for journeys from the capital to Norfolk. The price for a single fare from Norwich or Diss to London is £11, with the cost for a single fare usually ranging from £36 to £88 at peak times. Martin Moran, Commercial Director at Greater Anglia, said Secret Fare is perfect for customers who have flexible schedules, and we are pleased that they can now save up to 50% with a Seatfrog Secret Fare ticket. To book, customers must use the Seatfrog website and select Secret Fare from the list of options on the drop-down menu. Customers then select their date to travel and a travel time window, either morning, afternoon or evening. Passengers will then be allocated on a train during the selected period and receive the ticket 24 hours before departure.
By George! For England, councillors make bid for extra bank holiday. Norfolk County Council is set to make a formal request to the government for St George's Day to become a bank holiday. The Conservative-run council agreed by 34 votes to 3 with 15 abstentions to make a formal request for April the 23rd, the day celebrating England's patron saint, to be declared a public holiday. A motion was tabled at a full council meeting on May the 20th, led by James Bensley, Cabinet Member for Environment and Waste, who said the day held deep historical and cultural significance. He said a national bank holiday would provide an opportunity for communities to celebrate these values and the rich history of England. The motion was voted on without debate, as the meeting had exceeded the three-hour limit. The councillors who voted against the move were Liberal Democrats Dan Roper and Steve Riley and Conservative Barry Stone. What do people think? Reporter Jackie Burgoyne asked people on the streets of Norwich what they thought of St George's Day becoming a public holiday. Troy Tobias, a 30-year-old handyman from Bakersfield, said, "Personally, I do think St George's Day should be a bank holiday, simply because it's part of our national identity. For me, it would be no different to the US celebrating the 4th of July." Retired Joe Sylvester from Norwich said, "I do realise that we're a multicultural country, and it's fantastic to see other places celebrate where they've come from. But I think we've probably forgotten what our culture is. It isn't about not liking diversity, it's about being proud of where we've come from." Greengrocer Brendan Reed, 34, who works at Mike Debson Sons on Norwich Market, said, "I would say yes, because I obviously support St George's Day. But I don't like bank holidays in the summer because it costs us money on a Monday, because we shut the doors. But it definitely needs to be celebrated. The fact that the English flag can't be flown is embarrassing."
God.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that and this week's programme. My thanks go to Desney and to Navia, especially for joining us. And should I say that again? Navia? There we go. It's a lovely name anyway, but thank you once again for joining us. This recording is copyright of the Great Yarmouth and District Talking Newspaper Association. News content is adapted mainly from the Great Yarmouth Mercury. However, the Great Yarmouth and District Talking Newspaper Association accept responsibility for editorial decisions made for this recording. A reminder of our website address, grapevinegy.org, where the latest edition is always available, and there's also a contact button for getting in touch. We'd love to hear from you as well. If you've any comments on our programmes or any ideas, anything you'd like us to feature, please get in touch. Next week, your newsreaders will be Margaret and Desney will be joining us again. So, we look forward to welcoming you then for much more of your local news. In the meantime, from all at Grapevine, stay safe, stay well, and bye for now.